He had a personal secretary in addition to the authorized one, I remember that. Maybe a clerk, too.
Yeah, well, I was accommodated in that regard, too. I'd be in a resident at that time of Washtenaw County. The University of Michigan Law School made available to me an office in the library. And I had a secretary in Ann Arbor that would be there every day, even though I might be up in Lansing on a administrative hearings or on hearing cases. And my secretary up here, I inherited from Justice Harry Kelly, who was a very competent person and aided me considerably in understanding the procedures of the Supreme Court. So I was well served by a secretary in Lansing as well as one in Ann Arbor.
Is that person who had worked for Kelly still with us?
No, she expired. Velma, I can't think of her last name.
You know, there have been suggestions in connection with this history project that at the proper time it might be worth the trouble to look up some of these people that were not very much out front in the court, but that did have significant responsibilities, and to see what they're...
Well, that would describe Velma very, very well, because as my understanding was that Justice Kelly relied upon her to read the briefs and to develop the fact situation, you might say.
See, now that's unusual and quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a secretary.
And this
right?
is a secretary.
Was she a lawyer?
Secretary administrator, she was not. But she
what was her, name, Velma?
I can't think of her last name.
Okay.
I, you know, somebody I know so well.
At this time, as I recall, Justice Kelly was ailing and away from the court a lot of time. Isn't that true, or do you remember that?
Yes, I attended his funeral, of course. He expired, I think, soon after that election in either 71, 72. And he was spending most of his time at his home in Otsego Lake at that time. It was in ailing health.
Do you remember your first case and how you got it and what you did with it?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I think the first case that I got involved with that I had really an interest in was People of the State of Michigan versus John Drow. And John Drow was an Indian fisherman. And he was being charged under the law of violating the fishing game laws of the state of Michigan, and we did a considerable amount of research in the old treaties of the state in regards to the cessation of ceding of land by the native peoples to either the state or the federal government, and what they were promised in return, and how we should interpret that in the 20th century, even though that was done in the early 19th century, and that required a great deal of research, but it was a very interesting point. And as a matter of fact, after that case came down where we sustained the position of John Drow that he was not subject to the state laws, that was reviewed in Law Week, which is a publication taking all of the Supreme Court decisions throughout the state of Michigan and those of the greatest interest, reproducing them in their publication. And so People versus John Drow, John Drow sort of led the states and was cited many times thereafter when other states were faced with the same problems that were presented to us in the John Drow case.